What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Genesis 27, quickly. Genesis 27. Incidentally, this is where God spoke to us at the beginning of the year. He told us that 2020 is our year of heaven's due. And those were the powerful words that God spoke over Jacob through Isaac. He said, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. The Lord give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty corn and wine. And he said, let people serve you, and nations will bow down to you. And that's what we're experiencing. The nations are open to us. Open to us with the message of the gospel, open to you for business, open to you for takeovers. The nations are yours. And testimonies are already abounding to what God is doing. New opportunities. People are making great progress in their careers. And I know that your case is not different, because the favor of God, and if you're connected to this platform and what God is doing, I can tell you that you are righteously implicated. That word has come upon you and is gaining expression because you are in Christ Jesus. Genesis 27, we will read from verse 30. David Wilkerson prophesied 32 years ago, about this whole pandemic. And today I was going through that prophecy again, because that prophecy ended by saying that after the whole shutdown, that there's going to be an awakening. It's going to be an awakening of the church. The church will be awakened. Now listen, we're not saying that God used the pandemic to wake the church. We're saying that after the pandemic, the church is going to see opportunities, things they've not seen before. And I remember one faith adventure, God spoke to us. And he said, anytime God talks about awakening and speaks about harvest, listen, it can be proven from scripture. Harvest comes in threefold. It's usually the harvest of what? Souls. Then, or it's the harvest of miracles. Or it's the harvest of finances. So I believe that like never before, we're going to see more people come to church. Reverend Ayeni told us that there is recovery, there's restoration, and then there's what? There's revival. I believe this revival is going to see more people come to church like never before. Don't heed the voice of the naysayers. Those who think that the church can be boxed. You cannot box the church. Different people have stood over the years to try to, you know, box the church. They've not been able to do it. You know why? The church is not man's idea. I see how some people unintelligently go on social media and try to speak about men of God and castigate them. And the prayer I make for them is, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. And that's the truth. They truly don't know what they do. The church is not a body that is voted. It is the child of God. It is God's dream. It's God's project. So nobody can stop the church. And I can assure you that we're going to see more people get saved than we've ever seen. And we're going to see more of the supernatural in operation. There's a pastor I follow on Instagram, and I was looking at some of the things God is doing in his ministry. He was covered by Turning Point, Streams of Joy, and he was talking about the miracles of and the things that God is doing in their ministry. You know, he said something. He said that some of these things, when he stands and he begins to look at tumors disappearing and children with Down syndrome healed and barren wombs open. You know, he brings tears to his eyes. He says, look, this is beyond him. This is not just about the prayer that he has made. He says, it's not just my prayer. This is not my prayer. Because where he's standing, he said, he can hardly find anything to attribute those things to that he has done. He said, because when people enter there, they can testify and say, look, as we came into this place, the presence of God was here. We could tell that God was in this place. And then God begins to do his thing. And as I was watching him a couple of days ago, the Spirit of God told me, he says, it's because we are in the rain. It's the rain of miracles. People will come to church during worship, during praise, legs will begin to grow out. It is a harvest of miracles. I remember Oral Roberts was talking about the days of the healing revival in US. And you know one of the things he said it was as though any person could heal the sick. Miracles were everywhere. Prayers that had been made over the years, people just stepped into the harvest of those things. You will see someone who is just an usher in church lay hands on blind people and the eyes will just pop open. It's a rain. Key into it. Jump into it. Don't write yourself out. It's a rain of God's Spirit. And that awakening that they experienced then is what we're experiencing now. And the third thing is the harvest of finances. The harvest of finances. I believe that Christians, there's a financial shift. There's a financial shift. Christians are going to step into greater wealth than they've ever handled in their lives. I'm talking about times when you see teenagers in millions. It's just the reign of God's Spirit. And when prophecies come out, you know, our role is to position ourselves for the fulfillment of those words. When it rains, just put your container there and get as much water as you want. It's the same thing. Men and women of little ages, if there's anything like that, controlling great wealth is what I hear in my heart. So do not say I'm a child. And, you know, while praying today also, I sensed in my heart that there are people who have said to themselves that there were times when this used to happen. I used to have these. I used to control these. I used to... Don't say the good old days are gone. The Bible says they just arrived. That anything that was once dead in your life, God is resurrecting those portals for you again in the name of Jesus. You will see restoration of businesses in Christian circles like never before. The movers and the shakers of our cities will be found in church. I believe this word. I believe it all my heart. It's an awakening. Someone who is probably trekking right now and who is always looking for who to give him or her a lift after church. You will be having buses bring people to church. I'm talking to someone. Your financial position has shifted. It's a supernatural shift. And that's why it's very important that we keep our eyes focused. And as I was praying for this year's Covenant Wealth Conference, you know, Pastor Abisi kept asking me, what is the focus? I think that was 3 weeks ago. I said, I'm praying. I don't know the focus. So we want to have something to put on the invitation. What's the focus of this year's Covenant Wealth Conference? I said, Covenant Wealth Conference. And I remember, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I was praying and I woke up just praying for this meeting and the Lord spoke to me. Sarame, there's a revival. There's a revival. Keep the people's eyes focused on the power of the blessing. And we trust God that this weekend and the next 4 days, we'll be seeing some very powerful, interesting things about the blessing. Now, Genesis 27 is where I want to read by way of text. I pray it will have something to do with that, but it's just on my heart to read as way of text, and I trust God will get there. He says, now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may do what? May bless me. Verse 32. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? One of the things that, you know, my heart really wonders every time I look at this story is why it took Esau this long to realize the importance of the blessing. It didn't have to take him that long. Recently, I saw a sister in our church post something. You know, she posted, said, "Now I know that life is truly spiritual." And when she posted it, I said, "Wow, it didn't have to take you that long to realize that life is spiritual." But I was glad that she realized it. Like they said, never is better late than never. But how did Esau see this thing we're talking about, the blessing? What was on his heart? Because the Bible says it was with bitter cry that he was looking for it. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 12? That he sought for it with what? With tears. That means it meant something to him. But the question is, why did he have to leave it this late for it to mean something to him? And that's one of the things I pray for church, that we will not come to a place where it becomes too late before we realize what it means to be blessed and actively begin to pursue it. Because there's a tendency sometimes for church to major on minors and minor on majors. That's what's happening to Esau. For your information, if you do a bit of Bible study, you will discover that as at the time when that trade took place between Esau and Jacob, and he exchanged his birthright for a pot of soup, they were in their 70s. So these are not some young men who are teenagers, who are just graduating, who just graduated and have served. These were not children. They were in their 70s. So these were men of good age. And they knew exactly. It's just that Esau probably didn't take seriously what it meant to be a firstborn, who is what Christ has made us in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? We belong to the church of the firstborn. And he didn't understand what it meant to receive the blessing of God upon his life. Not like he had not heard of it. I believe he had heard of it. I'm sure he had heard of what the blessing did in his grandfather's life, and he saw what the blessing did in his own father's life. And I'm sure he knew exactly that this thing is communicated. It is passed. He knew that his father Abraham passed it to his grandfather Abraham passed it to his own father Isaac, and it was going to come upon him someday. I wouldn't say he didn't know. He knew, but he didn't know the gravity of it. If you're not here at the beginning of the year, I encourage you to get the messages at the beginning of the year during the gathering, and the message that I preached at Great Days at Father's Delight Ministries in Zaria. It'd be a great blessing to you. Jacob didn't steal the blessing. He legally bought it. He knew the value of using tangible things to lay hold on intangible things, on spiritual things. So when Jacob is labeled crafty and labeled a usurper, that's not exactly true. The difference between Jacob and Esau is that one had spiritual intelligence. One refused to follow the trend. One refused to follow what the media was saying and what was trending on Twitter. Are we together? And stayed with something that was primitive. He understood that there is something about this blessing. And I'm sure he kept asking himself, the day this thing comes upon me, I'm made for life. But here was Esau just feeling that no matter what happens, I can eat my cake and still have it. Afterwards, he sought for it. So what is about the blessing? And that's one of the things that I've been thinking about. You know, I've been thinking about what it means to be blessed. Now, Genesis chapter 1. I know we've heard it in church. You know, one of the, should I say, rather unfortunate things that could happen to someone is to take Bible words and interpret them in present-day context. Number one, you must understand that the Bible is not an English book. And you need to understand that the Bible is not written, was not written last week. Neither was it written last year. But it is relevant for the times that we are in. It's relevant for all times. Is somebody getting what we're saying? So some words in scripture, they are primitive, but they don't. We should not lose the original meaning of those words. Today is normal for people to say after service, "Bless you, brother, do what? Bless you, sister, bless you." I even hear some people say, someone blessed me with some money today. Some will even say, "Brother, is the Lord not moving your heart to bless me with something?" And then we even name our children. Blessing. Good name. Really wonderful name. I have a blessing in my house. And we believe that the word blessing, the name blessing, is for the female gender. Have you? I remember the first time I saw a brother, you know, I asked, I said, "What's your name?" We're meeting for the first time. He said, "My name is Blessing." I felt like asking him, "I'm not asking you of your mother's name, are you?" said, my name is Blessing. You know, he could see on my face. He said, yeah, Blessing. But I said, think about it. It's a good name, you know, Blessing. Brother Blessing. So it's good. And since then, I've met other brothers that are Blessing. I'm not sure Sammy's going to find out funny if I named him Blessing, but that should work. We have a brother that, we have a pastor in Christ Family Ministries that has a tribal name that he rarely uses. And because I don't want to call the name, amen. But I will never forget the first day, you know, I discovered that was his tribal name. But it means rejoice. And I keep wondering, what's wrong with rejoicing? But you see, it's just a mindset. So it is also with the word blessing. So sometimes when we say you are blessed, there is a tendency that what comes to your mind is the context in which it's used. When you say you are blessed, you think about that sister, or you think of what happened to someone. But you see, the word blessing shows up in Genesis 1. That means from the beginning, this word was in God's vocabulary. Are you getting what we're saying? So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. How many of you are ready for a ride tonight? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them, male and female, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So man was, God's intent, God's design was that his man be a being of dominion. Man was created to have dominion. Man was created to rule. Let me go further. Man was created to be in control. Man was created to be in the place of authority over everything that God has created. And look at what God says. Let us make man in our image. That means let's make a being, are you following me, that carries our image. Listen, the image of God is where? In man. He says, according to our likeness. And I like to put it this way. According to our likeness means that it's like us. That means can do what we can do, can say what we can say. God never created you to be any different from him. God never created, he never intended for man to be any different from him. He said, let's make man in our image, according to our likeness. No wonder the Bible says in Psalm 8, what is man that you are what? Mindful of him. Go there, Psalm 8. He said, what is man that you think of him? He said, for you have made him a little what? Lower than Elohim. The translators put there a little lower than the angels. You see, and the Son of Man that you visit him, verse 5 says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. The word translated angel there is the word Elohim. You've made him a little lower than yourself. How many of you see this agrees with Genesis 1? In our image, after our likeness. This is David pondering over what Moses wrote in Genesis. Are you getting the picture? Then he says, you crowned him with glory and honor. Whoa. You crown him with glory. You crown him with wealth. You crown him with honor. This is, I want you to see from the beginning. This is how God saw man. And David was able to meditate and he saw it too. This is who you made Arame. Maybe you should put your name there. You made Arame just a little lower than the angels, a little lower than yourself. That means if you look at God, you look at man, you can't really tell the difference. The difference is just negligible. Verse 6 says, Psalm 8:6, he says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Did you see that? Please, I need someone to be alert here. He says, you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. I think it is old King James that says, over all the works of your hands. That means everything that God created, he said, this man, you are in charge. Man was God on earth. Dominion over the works of thy hand. He says, you have put all things. Now, if you say all things, listen. That's why if you see the King James, he has it in italics, right? When he says he has put all things under his feet, the word things was not there. Literally, it meant he has put all. God put all. This is not the man recreated in Christ Jesus. This is the man God created. He says he put all. And Paul explains this all in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul explains what all is in context in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 21. Let's see what all is. He's not just talking about resources. He's not just talking about government. No. He's just talking about, it's not talking about the fish in the sea, the birds that fly. No. He's not saying certain things. He's not talking about things. He's saying all. Anything that is created by God. And can I ask a question? Is there anything that is not created by God? If everything is created by God, in accordance with Psalm 8, it means that any created thing is under the dominion of man, including situations. Let me shock you. Including weather. Including the elements of the earth. Before I read 1 Corinthians 3, you know what the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22? It says, as long as the heavens and the earth remain, cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest will not cease. And I was thinking about that scripture. You know what God told me? He said, Aaron, as long as you have seeds that you have planted, the elements that shape and frame cold and winter. How many of you know what we call cold and heat, winter and summer, or what we call seasons, as a result of planetary what? Systems. We are told that the earth revolves around its axis and then rotates around in an orbit around the planetary system. Some of you have forgotten, but it's okay. And we're told that as the earth rotates around its axis, we have day and night. And as it revolves around its axis and rotates around the orbit, we have the various seasons. And what God told me, say, as it's rotating, in any direction that I rotate, it's working for you. So there's nothing like, see, for a child, if you understand what I'm saying, there's nothing like, this is winter, so I can't do this. There is no season that is a disadvantage to God's created man. There's not like saying that, oh, my business would have thrived. It's just that it's summer and business doesn't move in summer. No, every season works for you. He put all things. That's what scripture is saying. He put all things. Have you ever seen God say, I couldn't heal because it's too hot? Or the weather is too cold? That means the weather has nothing to do. It can't stop him. All things are under your control. That's God's intent. This is God sitting and saying, look, this is how I see the man I want to make. All this religion and whimpering around and coming and trying to talk in a particular way. Listen, it was not there in the beginning. That was not the original plan. God did not create man to dress in a particular way into his presence, to talk in a particular way. There's not like church language. Am I talking to you? That's not the kind of man. He created a man in dominion. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21. Therefore let no one boast in men. For how many things are yours? For all things are yours. All things are yours. Then in verse 22, he explains it. He says whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas. What do we mean by Paul, Apollos or Cephas? It means the fivefold ministry. It means the gifts that God have given. They are working for you. Your pastor is a gift to you. All things are your pastor is yours. There is no anointing upon any man of God that is not for you. He doesn't have a copyright law to it. Do you know that's what that woman taught? The woman with the issue of blood. She discovered that anointing is public property. She didn't wait to write a letter to the man of God and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I have heard of all your gracious works and your generosity and kindness towards the human race. But I've been in this condition for the last 12 years. So I humbly write that if you will consider your handmaiden in her low estate and consider her good for healing, I will be eternally grateful to you for what you will do for me. Yours sincerely, woman with the issue of blood. There was no need for that. She just discovered that if God put it there, all things are mine. And see, that's how to receive your healing. That if there is any grace you see upon any man of God, you can take it. See, you don't need to suffer too long to discover that what you've been going around looking for is right by your side. He says, whether Paul, because the argument then was, I belong to Paul. I belong to who? To Cephas. He says, who are we? Paul planted, Apollos did what? Watered, but God gave the increase. So whether you belong to Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, all of them are yours. Then he doesn't stop there. He says, all the world is yours. The world is mine. Believers struggle to talk like this. The world is yours. He said, all life. Life is yours. Then see the one that will shock you. All death. Death is yours. In Revelation chapter 1, when John saw Jesus on the island of Patmos, what did Jesus say? I am he who was what? Who was dead, but now alive. And I hold in my hands the what? The keys of life and death. The keys of Hades and hell. And who did he give it to? He gave it to church. Listen, death is no longer in the hands of Satan. That's the truth. Revelation tells us that power was given to death to cause famine, to cause... But today, it's no longer in the power of the devil to do what he wants to do. Except believers fail to realize who they are. Someone say, what do you mean by death is yours? That means you can put death in its place. It's yours. It's a tamed dog. You don't say when death comes calling, there's nothing you can do about it. It's because you have not understood certain things. We have the answer of death in us. That means there is an answer, there's someone that can answer death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? So, all life or death, all things present. Did you see that? So, what are things present? Things present are things that are present. Houses, cars, resources, all things to come, meaning the ones that they've not discovered. That means the future is yours. Technology is yours. This is what I want you to see when the Bible says God has put all things under man's dominion. Listen, in the fall, man lost it. In redemption, Jesus restored it. So all things are yours. We are looking at what at the beginning, what was at the mind of God when he was saying, when we talk about the blessing, what was on his mind? So back to that Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So I'm blessed. You know, you need to be reminded this truth again and again and again. Stop whimpering around. Stop complaining. Stop being miserable. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Look at verse 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Underline the word create. Underline the word create. Of course, if the Bible is yours, don't mark another person's Bible. So he created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God did what? Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Aye, we'll come there tomorrow. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And have, see that word showing again, and have dominion. That means the way to dominion is that you start being fruitful, then you multiply. Then you do what? Then you fill the earth until you become a brand. Let me put it this way. If it's in present day, God is saying, start something. Stay with it. Be fruitful at it. Then you will move from being fruitful. You start multiplying what you are fruitful in. Then from multiplying what you are fruitful in, you now begin to think global with it. filling your space, filling your world with it, until you come to a place where you are the household name, where every toothpaste will be called McLean. You understand what I'm saying? When people start asking you, which McLean do you use? You know what I mean? There are other people who are involved, who are doing the same thing you're doing, but you have swallowed up the market. You become the name by which people identify a thing. Praise God. Now, you know why I say you should underline the word create? There's a way life operates that many people don't know. And you're going to see it today. Who was God talking to in Genesis 1:28? What we just read from verse 26 to 28. Who do you think God was talking to? Listen. You'll be quick to say Adam and Eve, which is correct. Which is correct. You're very correct. But can I say something that will shock you? There was no Adam and Eve when God was speaking all this. Because we have misunderstood creation for making. You cannot make what has not been first created. And this is where people miss it between Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2. As at the time God was talking, he had not created man, but he has conceived man. He was talking to the man that he has conceived in his spirit. Let me give you the picture. It's like a lady being pregnant with a child in her womb. And that baby has not been born yet, but the woman puts the hand on the baby and says, "You will come out looking like me. You'll be fruitful. You will multiply. You'll fill the earth and subdue it. You'll have dominion." That baby has not been born, but it's talking to the baby. Because in the mind of that mother, before the baby will be, the baby is existing. I believe somebody's getting what we're saying. Because the way life operates is that things must be established in the spiritual before they manifest in the physical. There is nothing that happens in the physical that has not first been birthed in the spirit. There's something I want you to get. You're going to get what it means to be blessed. That before you see anything in the physical, listen, before you see anything happening physically, is because it has been concluded in the realm of the spirit. I was telling someone, I said, yes, you might try to treat COVID as just biological war, whatever theory and hypothesis one tries to attach to it. But I mean, this is, first of all, the work of demons. Is that demons have conjured something, they've thought something, and then it's playing out. It is not now that it's playing out. It's because they had planned it that it is now doing what? Playing out. So whatever plays out in the physical is because it has first been established in the spirit. There's a spirit realm that controls this. And God is like that. That's how God authored life to be. That the spiritual controls the physical. And this is what Jesus meant when he was talking about being born again. That you cannot talk about a change of situation without having first this spiritual experience. Now go to John chapter 3. We all think that this physical, the physical world we live in, is all there is to live in. We feel that if you're in the physical world, then there's no... And that's why we are defeated. There's a spiritual realm that controls the physical world. Hear me. Pastors, businessmen, understand this. There is a spiritual realm that makes the physical realm to work. And the people that make progress in life are those who understand the realm of the spirit. I'm going to show you from scripture. So in Genesis chapter 3, now I want to read the Message translation so it brings it out like I want to say. Verse 3. Now, did you know, why did Nicodemus come to see Jesus? He came to see Jesus because there were evident results in his life that his position and the caliber of man he was not producing. He says, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things that you do except what? God is with him." I mean, we might criticize you, but we know whatever you are doing is working. You might not even be following the laid down rules like we expect, but we know that the results are undeniable. So he came in the night and said, "Look, what are you doing to get this result?" Because that is how natural man thinks. That we are first programmed to think doing instead of being. So we're always asking, what did this person do? And that's the reason a lot of self-help books sell. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, you're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from where? Above. It's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. Verse 4. You see, how can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? How is he thinking? He's thinking of only this natural realm. You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? So see the way Jesus brings it out. Jesus said, you are not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation. What is the original creation? The Genesis creation. He calls it the wind hovering over the water creation. He says the invisible, moving the visible. A baptism into a new life. It's not possible to enter God's kingdom. That's why being born again is not the things I used to do. I do them no more. Jesus said that if you want to get results, then you must learn the ropes. You must be born from another place and learn the ropes of how invisible forces move physical, visible things. And that's how life works, whether in business, whether in marriage. So, opening a shop and putting ACs in them doesn't guarantee profit. Is that if you see things moving in the physical, it's because they are invisible forces moving them. When you see someone's music going ballistic, it's not to copy his album art and say, okay, probably this is what he did. Yes, those things are necessary. But what scripture is saying, what Jesus is saying is that if you want to get these results, like I'm saying, is that you have to understand that there's an invisible element that controls what? The physical things that you see. And it's that invisible place I want to put you. Because if you get there, then there is nothing that you cannot handle in the physical. Every time I'm with programmers in church, I love to see them program. Because have you ever seen someone programming something and sitting down? They call it, is it coding? They are encoding things. It's very boring. So I'm always saying this. Anytime I see my brother Maha, you know, and he's sitting on his laptop and he's doing all those stuff, I just keep seeing green, red, you know, lines. I see C, E, alphabet, all manner of nonsense. It's not interesting. So I'll say, what are you doing? And he's so focused. He's going through it. I remember when Wifi started learning how to code. And he came and sat down and said, Pastor, let me just do something for you to see. You know, it was so funny. Sat down like he was playing. He said, this is the back end. When I'm done, I will show you how it looks like. The front end. The front end is what everybody likes. But the people who control the front end are the people who have learned the language of the back end. That is how life is. If you don't understand the back end, you will only be a user of the front end. But the people who make real progress in life are people who have laid hold on spiritual things. Why am I saying this? When God created man in Genesis 1, and he was talking about let us create, there was no man. That was when he was programming what he was doing. Go to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 2 verse 3. The Bible says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Look at the next verse. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made. Remember, there was a creation, then there was a making. When he made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of a field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to do what? To till the ground. So who was he talking to in Genesis 1:26? When he said to have dominion, the Bible said there was no man. Genesis 2 tells us that there was no man. There was no man, but he was talking to them. Remember Genesis 1:28? And he blessed them, saying, and yet the Bible says there was no man, because that was created man. See, before your physical body came into being, your spirit existed. It is that man that God carried in the womb of his spirit that he was speaking to. when he was saying, this man is blessed, this man is favored, and he was saying to him, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He was talking to the spirit of man, because there was no physical man standing there that he was talking to. He was programming man in the realm of the spirit. Because scripture says in verse 6, Genesis 2:6, quickly. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed. Go and check. The word formed there is not the same word as create. Remember, he was speaking to created man in Genesis 1:28. Now the man that he created, he's forming him. That word formed there means to mold. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his what? His nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living being. So can I say this? Before Adam became a living being, he existed in the mind of God. So it's not after man became a living being that God blessed him. God blessed man before he blessed man in creation. And when man came into being, when he formed man, man began to live out the blessing. So when scripture now says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, because this is where people miss it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Guess what some people say? Me is not the spiritual blessings I want. It is the physical ones I want. Listen, the blessing operates in the realm of the unseen, then it manifests itself where? In the physical. It's a lack of understanding that makes us think that, okay, it's when somebody has given you a house, someone is giving you a car, or somebody is giving you a job, you say, the person has blessed me. That's not the blessing. It's the effect of what has happened in your spirit. Because Adam was blessed in his spirit, and then it manifested where? In the physical. In the same way, when Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Guess what it means? It means that Arame is blessed. That is why every time you read Ephesians 1:3, you should have a dance party. It means something has happened to you vitally in your spirit, legally. That in the womb of God, God looked at you in Christ Jesus and he spoke to you. There's a story in scriptures, 1 Samuel 17. See, if you depend on the physical alone, you will run dry. You will struggle. And this is where a lot of Christians miss it. Because this harvest we're talking about, this financial harvest we're talking about, you better start thinking spiritual. If you want to have control. Remember I said man was designed for what? For control. Was designed to be in charge. A Christian has no business in under the situations we found ourselves. You should be turning and toying and playing with situations. I remember telling someone, I said, under the circumstances, I said, what are you doing under it? Come out. You are not, you are not born to be under any circumstance. There's no situation. And the Bible says there was this champion of the Philistines, Goliath by name, Goliath of Gath. And he will come out every day and insult the children of Israel. He was doing it for 40 days. Can I say something? Do you know that there were able-bodied soldiers in Israel? Do you know Saul was not a short man himself? Saul was the tallest man in Israel. But there's a place where height chickens out. It's not the size. And people make this mistake of thinking that Goliath was threatening the train of Israel because of his size. No. How many of you have always thought like that? That it was because he was huge. He was big. That's why he was intimidating the children of Israel. It was a lack of understanding of their covenant. Because scripture tells us in verse 9. Go to verse 9. Quickly. 1 Samuel 17:9. He came and challenged them and said, choose someone to come and fight me. Say, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Imagine the terms of the war. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may do what? We may fight together. I defy. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, what happened? The Bible said they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were under the circumstance. And that's why a lot of Christians are under the circumstance. And listen, after this Covenant World Conference, you are not just going to be someone who is a part of the program. You will be programming the system. No, I pray you get what we're saying. You will know where things happen. You will know the original source material. You will take cities. You will take your industries. You will not see data and statistics and fear will grab your heart. The Bible said that's what Goliath was doing. He will come and talk, and the children of Israel will chicken. They tell you in Boko that no church has ever been able to do this. You will forget about what they've said before. Listen to me. You are breaking new grounds. Amen. Those of you watching, are you hearing me? You are breaking new grounds. So I ask myself, how can Saul, anointed, how can the nation of Israel in covenant with God be under the spell of one man and nobody will be able to stand up? I discovered that Goliath was not talking based on his size. Go to verse 26. When David shows up in the camp, this is the man who is not a professional. So we just finished a series, Go Pro. But I want to let you know that it's not just when you go pro, you need to understand spiritual truth. And that's why I took time for us to look at that going pro from a spiritual perspective also. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Look at what David said, underline it. He said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What was David thinking? Circumcision. Covenant. That means in this whole nation of Israel, with Saul, nobody was thinking covenant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That means as David was looking at this institution, this mighty company, looking at this mighty industry, guess what he was thinking? For him to be talking, there must be something he's standing on and talking. But I also have something I'm standing on. And as far as I'm concerned, he's uncircumcised. You know, the first time the word circumcision appears in scripture is Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, God told Abraham to get into a covenant with him and all his children born in his house. He said, all his servants, everyone born in his house must be circumcised on the seventh day. He said, for this is the seal of the covenant between you and I. That means for the children of Israel, circumcision to cut where blood flows is a sign of covenant, meaning I have a blood covenant with God. That might not excite you, but what it means is this, that I am one with God. What it means is that God is my partner, God is my associate, or God by blood is bound to me. So it's a question of who is Goliath? When they dressed David up and David went into the battlefield, remember he went to the field, and scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes that the prophet of the what? Of the field is for all. Even the king is fed by it. So David looked into that field and said, look, I have a portion in it. What? He looked at it and said, look, Goliath, you might be a man that has been fighting from your youth, but in this same field, there's a portion for me. Can I speak to someone? In that industry, there's a portion for you. Maybe you say God has called you into fashion. There is a portion for you. You need to engage in the field. You need to go into those places. You don't need to sit down and say, wow, look at the big names. Look at the big names. Look at the names that have always been here. Forget about it. There is a portion for you. Goliath was the biggest brand in the market. But I bring you good news. There is a young covenant generation that are coming with an understanding. Because what they are thinking is, we have circumcision. We have blood between us. And that's what David thought. David kept saying, who is this? What will be done for the man who will take away this reproach from Israel? And if you read from verse 40, the Bible says, as David was coming, hear me, what was he coming with? He was coming with his, I prefer to use the word catapult. As he was coming with his catapult, Goliath was laughing. It's a picture of you coming into the industry. Are you with me? Where others have been established for years, there are big names coming, and all you are bringing in is just your simple equipment. Am I talking to someone? Your testimony will be, I entered this city with one box. Today I own it. Amen. Oh, I love the story of Lester Sumrall. When he entered into his, he had been a missionary for many years, and when he returned back to U.S., he came with a box. And guess what they kept telling him? You know, someone said, after all these years of being a missionary, all you came back with is a box. And he told his staff, he said, don't worry, give us time. This city is ours. We will own it. In less than five years, he was buying over properties. That means it's not how you entered, it's what you entered with. That's why you can't look at a man who is blessed and judge him from the outside. No, 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 no. If that man understands spiritual programming and spiritual codes, don't play with him. And that's what David understood. David didn't understand the language of, he didn't understand how to use even Saul's spear, but he understood covenant. He understood blood. Because scripture tells us, if you begin to read from verse 40, that as he took those stones and he was approaching, give me verse 41. In verse 41, the Bible tells us, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. I don't know why that man's work is just to carry a shield in front of Goliath. That was just his work. The Bible says, and when the Philistine, that's Goliath, when he looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. I'm sure he was telling the boy, you think we're here for a Persian? You think we're here to do Mr. Universe? This is real war. He was offended. And guess what he did in verse 43? So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. This gives us a picture of what he was saying, that the children of Israel were scared. How was he speaking? He was speaking by his gods. He was speaking by his gods. So I asked, is it that there's no God in Israel? That nobody could speak? He didn't throw a spear. He was speaking by his gods. And make no mistake, just because you see Goliath Industries and you see Goliath Institutions, make no mistake, there is a God by which they speak. You will not find it in their books. Don't be deceived. You will not find it in the books. What truly makes men are not written in books. They are as primitive as time. He began to curse. He began to curse by the name of his God. Can I ask you, did Goliath say, David is a small child, so I don't need the name of our God? That means as small as David was, he did not let down the spiritual dimension to warfare. In fact, another word for what Goliath was doing is that he began to chant. He was chanting. That's how men cursed. If he's an Igbo man, he will probably be saying, Amadioha, thunder, fire. And look at what David did. You know, David understood that on the field is a battle of gods. And he said in verse 44, the Bible says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David replied him in verse 45 and said to him, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Look at what he says in essence. Today, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day we give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why am I telling you all this? That they may know that there is a God where? In Israel. As David was standing there, he was not looking at his size. Because based on his size, he was not qualified to be in the army. He was not qualified to go for war. But what was he looking at? There is a God. There is truly greater that is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He was thinking the blessing. He was thinking the spiritual. Now, as we round up, this is what I want to put in your heart. What is the blessing? What is this thing that Esau toyed around with? To succeed in life, success is a factor, is a combination of both physical and spiritual elements. The physical elements are the ones we see. They are the ones we know. The trainings we go for. They are the things we can control. But there are also spiritual elements that make our physical preparations and activities to work. It is that spiritual element that people go for. People go for it. Because they know that without this spiritual component, this thing will not work. Anytime I watch epic movies and I see people planning to go for war, you know, one of the questions they ask, do we have a sacrifice? I remember a movie I was seeing with a friend. Someone said, Pastor Rami, you see movies? Yeah, sometime. And we're seeing this movie and they were going to fight three kings. And the leaders of the tribe came together, and guess what they said? One of them was asking the other person, I said, are you afraid that we'll lose this war? And she said, no, I'm not afraid. He said, but I'm not confident. He said, why are you not confident? He said, yes, I know we have the army. I know we have the weapons and we have the people. But I'm not just sure if we have the gods. I'm not sure if we have the gods backing us. He said, what do we do then? He said, we need to offer a sacrifice. And they went to see the God. And the God said that this war, they will need the sacrifice of a human life. The moment that human sacrifice was offered, you could see the demonic spirits that ran into these people. Because I know they are demons. Confidence broke loose. It just settled in their heart. They went for that war and things began to work in their favor. You know why? They had laid hold on the spiritual element that makes things work. See, there are certain things you are doing. You can do it for the next 10 years. There will be another person frustrating you if you have not laid hands on what? On the spiritual element of success. This spiritual element is what we call the blessing. One of the reasons Esau's life makes me laugh, and that's where Christians are. After Jacob ran, wasn't Esau left with everything? He was. And that's what most Christians are looking for, what they can see, what they can have now. But beyond what you can have now, there is something known as what? Known as the blessing. The blessing is not physical. The blessing is spiritual. And God blessed them. Meaning that when Adam was finally formed, something had been programmed in him that he cannot fail. Tomorrow we're going to continue from here. But I want your heart to be placed on the spiritual substance that makes things work. And this is what I try to get churches and believers to understand. Jesus said, labor for the food that doesn't do what? That doesn't perish. Go for spiritual things. Don't go for things. Ministry is not suits. But you need to get a good suit. Some people need to hear you. But what makes it work is spiritual. Did you see the prayer that Paul made for the church? That you may be filled with the spirit of what? Of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In Colossians 1:9, what did he pray for them? That they will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is important. Understanding the realm of the spirit and how it controls the physical. There's a spiritual realm that controls the physical. And when the blessing is upon a man, hear me, it makes things stick. Even mistakes turn to results. The blessing is powerful. Another way to put the blessing is, spiritual forces are working for you. A man that is blessed cannot be put down. It's not just a sling and stones that brought Goliath down. It is the Lord Sabaoth. And something is coming upon you in this conference. Your eyes are open to see things. There are some of you that are hearing me now. In another 3 months, they'll be saying, is this not the person we used to know? Your progress will be like day and night. Liberata Zunta. Lift those hands wherever you are. That's what it means to be blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Father, we give you praise. Forget whether there is a car parked outside or not, whether you have a house or not. Can you begin to see past where you are and give God praise? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. Look at yourself and say, oh, I am in covenant with God. I am blessed. This Arame is blessed. This Arame is empowered. Rebada zonda la bakata zonda la baba baba rando sanda la baba kaliba. Go ahead and give God praise. Spiritual forces are working for you. Hear me, spiritual forces. Don't look at me. Go ahead and give him praise. Spiritual forces are working for you. That's what we're saying. Spiritual forces are working for you. Why were the children of Israel scared? They were not conscious of it. Not that they didn't have it. They had it. But Goliath, who was conscious of his covenant, was oppressing them. Believers feel oppressed when they are not aware of what they have in Christ Jesus. What are you aware of? What's your consciousness? What's your consciousness? Are you going there just looking at what you have? No. Yes, you've done all that you need to do. You see, you must prepare. Are you listening to me? You must prepare what you need to prepare. But you must go into the fields of life with a consciousness of the forces that are working for you. And listen, where men are offering men and offering animals, this is what we are saying. God offered Jesus on your behalf. But how much are you aware of it? Are you conscious of it? I see the hand of God upon people. As you begin to see, so as you go to bed tonight thinking about these truths and sinking in these truths like a pebble, meditating upon these truths, you will see tremendous results. You will see that the tides will turn in your favor. You will hear a different report. The people that will be seeking you will be different. Father, we give you praise. Lift those hands up to heaven and begin to give God praise. Wherever you are, bless his name.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.